Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you know, Stegova, and you run, Stegova. Vantes, Stegova, Vantes, Stegova, Vantes, Stegova, Vantes, Larandela. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for you made it easy. You made it easy. You made it easy. You made it easy. Thank you, Father, you made it easy. Putting everything all in Christ, eternity in Christ, heaven in Christ, the gift of the Spirit in Christ. You made it easy. You made it easy. That means we don't have to come to one, from one go to another, go to another, looking for this. We don't have to look for sanctification in ourselves, look for redemption in Angel Michael, look for deliverance in Angel Gabriel, look for another thing, look for prosperity in Angel Fatai, look for this, look for everything you need for man, everything man requires, you put them in Christ. And we are in you justified. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, why not? Just congratulate or celebrate somebody beside you. Tell him your church will be 3 years this week. Amen. Come on, glory. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Amen. This week. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Be seated. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, thank you, everybody. How's your week been? Sorry, the week is just starting. Should I say, how has your month been? It's fine, I believe. Yeah. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:15. Thank you to everybody. Thank you for your... Thank you for being reliable. And thank you for being predictable. Like... none of you force my hand. You are all predictable. That means even those of you that force the hand, you fall it predictably. Like everything was just as I expect. So when you welcome back, amen. Praise God. Celebrate us. We celebrate you. Okay. Who else is coming from somewhere unknown to God? Oh, Pastor Ezekiel, amen. coming from, but where he's coming from is known to God, actually. So who else? Okay, everybody is. I can't tell you start. Anyway, welcome. Nice seeing you again. 2 Timothy 3:15. Okay, and from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, okay, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 now says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen, amen. Okay, so back to that verse 15. He said, you are able to know the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise. So, to make you wise there, as Greek word sophizo, S-O-P-H-I, Abi, is that all? Yeah. Sophizo, yes, that means skillful. That means skillful. That word can be used both positively or negatively. You say you are skillful, so the word can both be positive or negative. So in this place, for instance, it's positive. Look at 2 Peter 1 verse 16. Look at 2 Peter 1 verse 16. For instance, in this place, that word is positive. You see that it said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That's the same Greek word as as wise in the other place. So this one is saying we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but our eyewitness of his majesty. So, of course, he said we have not followed for cunningly devised fables, like fanciful stories. Like, you understand that he's saying when we preached Christ to you, we didn't just conjure one story out of the blues to tell you. He said, no, that's not what happened. He's saying we don't preach fanciful stories. We don't preach just the reigning thing in town, stuff like that. Imagine, for instance, and our message does not change with people's circumstances. That's another thing. Our message does not change with respect to people's circumstances. Just like you hear of those, you say, the Hebrew women. We are Hebrew women. When we get into the labor room, we just smile. We just drink Coke, and the baby will come out. Using Exodus chapter 2 as an anchor. No, very funny in practical things. Selah. Okay, remember God created the universe. He took a tithe, called the what? The Milky Way. Forgotten? Yeah, he created the Milky Way, took a tithe. What is it? The galaxy. He created the galaxy, took a tithe. What? The solar system. He created the solar system, took a tithe. What? Earth. He created the earth, took a tithe. What? Jerusalem. Jerusalem took a tithe. What? The temple. He created the temple, took a tithe. What? The holies of holies. Okay. Created the holies of holies, took a tithe. Ark. Now maybe now created the ark, took a tithe. Just now at the end of the day, Jesus is somewhere in the center, under. So Jesus is the tithe of the tithe. So there was a tithe, entering into the tithe for a tithe to enter to a tithe. No, you get, and you just, wow. So see, you just say wisdom. And even angels around, we just say, wow. Trust me, hope you know Jesus will be humorous. Even Jesus will just say, wow, man of God. I'm serious. We have to clap. Say, no, think about it. Hope you know Jesus does not form one kind of... He doesn't form God to us, okay? That is why you see in the book or in the gospel, he marvels, right? Are you with me? If he's trying to form God, he won't marvel. That means he already knows what you want to do before... But he got to his hometown and said, hey, wow. See, Peter, come and see unbelief. So if Jesus is on live stream hearing plenty of things, hope you know, Jesus, Father, kilo deo. So that's the point. Of course, and this can never be wrong, series 3, okay? Series 3, part 1. So, it means thanks to Pastor Joy for the awesome work in Can the Bible Be Wrong? Okay, so so now I'm saying that is called worldly wise, okay? That's worldly wisdom, worldly wise. So, a good preacher must be godly wise. That is our own wisdom. So, same wisdom used for men in the flesh, it's also used for men in the spirit. So, but your own is godly wisdom. You are godly wise. You are godly wise. And this wisdom comes by education. The more you are educated, just like in the earthly. You know, if you know your field very well, there's no place they will bring the question. They will twist it. You will twist it back for them. You will answer them. You will be more practical. Just like when I was asked a question in one interview, almost let me say the only interview I ever attended, I only did one interview in my life. I'm not ready for plenty of things. And they asked me a theoretical question. I said, sir, I don't know this thing very well, but should I draw it for you? He said, yes. I picked their marker, got to the board. They asked me what I know very well, transformer. Ha! I prove it from first principle, prove it, all the J factor. They said, oh, it's okay. I said, wait, I'm not done. So, when somebody plays into your field, you understand? Are you with me? That's what should happen to a believer. Amen. Somebody I think Pastor Nkau said that. He said he was in a class one day and the woman was teaching. He said he was sleeping. So the manager said, just like in the Bible. They just spoke up. He said, you see, God is biased in the Bible. Women are maltreated in the Bible. They just said, ah, ma, you are wrong, ma. He said, are you sure? He said, he just stood up, came to the front. And he took over the class. Then when he's done, he said, he went back and he slept. So that is actually what should happen. Why are we doing all we are doing in this church? You must... Christianity is your thing. Amen. It's your area. There must not be a concept in the Bible where... Just like someone should just call you right now, okay? He said, can you conjure a believer back to life? Just like in 1 Samuel chapter 29, that is the witch of Endor. When they said they conjured Prophet Samuel back. Someone just asked you that question. They're okay, I can't. No, you are always ready. Like, and funny enough, like I always taught you, you must throw Jesus into the picture. If you don't throw him there, it will be unclear. Hallelujah. That's the ado. You know what I mean by ado? That's the ado that will just clarify everything for you. Sorry, don't write ado in your book. Okay, so you get what I'm saying soon. So a good preacher must be what? Godly wise. Say, I must be godly wise. So let us see a scenario. Matthew 22, verse 15. When they were asking Jesus questions, you see how he warned them. He warned them in their own game. Like, he warned them from their own confusion. He didn't even leave what they are saying. He warned them. W-O-N, okay? That means he, not W-A-R-N. Practice, I've not seen it for a long time. Welcome. W-O-N. So he warned them in their own game. See Matthew 22, verse 15. He used their words. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. It's my brother showed me this passage a long time ago that this is just how a preacher must be. They throw the question to you. You must be able to answer back. And when they sent out, verse 16 now, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art truth and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. They are just boboing him. 17. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Verse 18. Let's read, yes. Perceive their wickedness and said, why tempt you me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him. Oh, now, hold on. See the question, okay? The question is, should we pay tributes to... Should we pay tribute? Now, if just said yes, no, if he said no, don't pay, what is the implication? That means they can easily say is against the law of the land, right? What if he says yes? What do you think is the implication? And thank law of Moses, no. Feel free, come on. Yes, sir. You're almost there. Tribute is a token of what? Lordship, authority, right? So that we pay tribute to Caesar means what? Caesar is our authority, is authority over us, right? So that means immediately he can say yes, he is disdaining that God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. So he must not say yes. That means he's saying forget your Bible, forget the authority of the scripture. If you remember the story of Israel, you know that even from the beginning, God never wanted to give them a king, right? They got a king out of rebellion. If you remember the story of Saul. So, if he had said yes, voila. Said no, voila. So, what did he say? 20, thank you, sir. He said unto them, whose is this image and what? Super
scripture. And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, what? Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. That's serious. That's just a checkmate. He just he was able to settle both sides of the coin. And from that his response, he first disarmed their tool of heresy, which is ignorance. That's their tool of heresy, which that is ignorance, okay? He first disarmed that one. He removed that one. And furthermore, he taught them doctrine. He disarmed their tool of heresy. No heresy. Heresy is like when you are anti-lage, and when you are just love to contradict. But these people now, their own tool of heresy is ignorance. What they don't know. So he first disarmed down. And furthermore, what did we see him do? He now further explained doctrine. What can you? Which further lesson can we see from that place? Can you help me from that simple scripture? That means he's saying there are things that belong to Caesar. There are also things that belong to God. Oh, God. Clearly, he said money does not belong to God. You know, you cannot say this in a lot of churches. They just... That's the end of all the sermons. That's just the end. You come to God to give you money, and you just say, sorry, oh, God say, sorry, oh, I'm not in charge of money. Wow. There are things that belong to God, and there are things that belong to Caesar. Let me ask you this question. Hope you know there can be no money if there is no Caesar. Sorry, let me say what you can get. Do you know there can be no money if there's no government? Who can prove it? Who can prove that for me? Be free, come on. Do you want me to preach? I will preach if you are not talking. Yes, para. Yes, feel free, sit down, talk. Yes. Yes. Use the word endorse, and that word will be better. Any other person? Pastor Ezekiel, yes, sir. Sorry, for you. Government used to control. Yes, but something is still more. Who makes money money? What makes money money? Okay. Value, yes. Feel free. Oh, you are right. Just right now, you work in the bank. You don't even know why. The power of exchange. Can we have a legal tender if there is no legislation? Oh, God. What is the power of money? Authority, that's all. It's authority. Let them remove all the police in Nigeria. Lock them somewhere. Wait, remove all police. Every security man in the entrance of banks, okay? All of them leave. Open all the vaults, okay? Open everything. Everybody go and pick what you like. What will happen? By the time you carry that money to Kia Motors, to buy a car, will they collect it? You don't understand? Once law and order comes down, nothing works. No value. So it is that authority that holds money in place. Are you with me? That is why if you steal, who punishes for stealing? Government. Of course, unless you mean somebody like Prapaisa that will punch you very well. Anyway, you get that later. I'm not into economics today. But so... money is money because there's a government. He now said, give unto government the things that are what? Governments. Then give unto God what the things that are God's. What belongs to God? What belongs to God? I've answered that before. What is that? The art of man. The art of man. That's man, okay? What belongs to God? That's man. God only wants the things that belongs to him, which is man's art, the art of man. He only wants the things that belongs to him. That's big, oh. That's really big. This is why we don't go around looking for people to give us money for church. You don't do that. Christians don't do that. That attitude that we grew up with from our old churches, when they will give you harvest envelope, now dance around, go to your teacher, go to the unbeliever, go to everybody to collect money for harvest is wrong. It's wrong. That thing of going on Facebook, just say, okay, my church needs money, and you are opening the bank for. If somebody, for instance, let me explain to you, your church is very broke. In fact, they are about to push you out. And somebody walks in, I don't like your Jesus, but take my money. You tell him, take back your money. Are you with me? That's Bible. Remember Acts chapter 8? He said, take this money and let this gift come upon me. What did Baba say to him? How many people will perish? You and your money, both of you perish. So, the as a minister of the gospel, and I think I'll be speaking more on this in Kaduna very soon, you must know what belongs to God. And we use God's resources for God's work. You must rely on God's resources for God's work. There was some churches I've been before that one of the qualifications of a pastor is you must earn well. You know, I know you have seen examples like that before, that you must make somebody a minister, a pastor, because he's well placed in the society. That's bad. That's bad. Amen, amen. So, we don't go around looking for people to give us money. No, we go appealing to the art of men. To the art of men. We teach men to submit to God's will. So, it is a man that has submitted his art, his will to God, that cannot further support God's work with the things that belongs to him. Is the man that has first submit his art to God's work that can now further go and submit his art, okay? Sorry, his resources to God. Like the Church of Macedonia, first they gave themselves to God, then to us. So before your gifts, what must come first? Your art. Before your gift, what must come first? Your art. Again, before your gift, what must come first? Your art. Should the preacher seek to collect gifts from a man whose heart is against the gospel? 100 times no. God does not need that money. Pastor, but this money will create 10,000 churches. Are you high? You are speaking to, why not just see God as the owner of it all? Then you just keep quiet. He is not interested in the result as much as the pattern, because he knows that without, okay, it's not so clear. We are Christ. You know, now we have plenty of stadiums empty now. Nobody can go there. You know, they are playing match on with no fans, right? Praise God. With no fans, no audience, just like that, and they are doing their presentation. They are now simulating when you score a goal, they will give you go. Woo, back in, we just press go. You increase that volume. When you miss it, say woo. They increase woo for you. You understand? Everything's simulated. So what am I saying? You could see structures. Just drive around town. You say, God, if truly this belongs to you, my name is Anne. I am your daughter. Give me 2 of these skyscrapers. Hallelujah. Just like, there are some confessions that we think they are. They are not Christian confession. We just think that they are. Say, because I'm a child of God. Because I'm a child of God, this job is mine. This job is mine. Why I'm a child of God? Because you're a child of God, you are going to heaven. It's the same thing. Like, okay, why not? It's always clearer when you turn the coin. Okay, consider yourself too as the owner of the business, and somebody is coming to the business and he's saying, because he is a child of God, that without interview, I take your job. That's why at times, just my needs are met, my bills are paid, it's okay. Just like saying, God, this one, I will marry her. God, whether she like, remember that our school woman, said, God showed me from heaven. You came down floating like, God said, it is you. Say, don't argue with God. He has said it, so shall it be. You relax. A lot of confessions we make in churches, we don't actually know it's greed and covetousness. We don't know. Imagine, God will deliver. One of the perfect deliverance in the Bible is the story of, of course, it isn't too perfect. Well, the beginning part is perfect, yeah? The story of Mordecai and Haman and the rest. God, at least God will deliver Esther and Mordecai. What did God do? God tickled the heart of the king overnight. The king now got up, right? It opened the book of the records, okay? And he now found something worthy of reward. He now call this guy, reward is there. The guy that is coming to sign his death warrant is already at the door. As the guy just got there, God already got to the place before Haman. So God said, Haman want to speak. Before you speak, please quickly first go and find Mordecai. Morogo. I should have come since yesterday. Are you with me, brother? Sorry, I'm talking too slow. So, like, God got there before him. So, how did God deliver the man? Is it by making him mad? No, he appealed to his heart. He appealed to his heart, and the man made his decision. So if anybody will bless you with, there was a church, I went to the church already, that throughout this afternoon, from morning till afternoon, you are praying, let the money come, let everybody come. Go and walk now. By 10 o'clock, you are praying for money. There's no time to pray for money. There's time to walk. Or let me say, there's time to receive the answers to the prayer. Go and walk. Hope you know, a lot of us grew up with the mindset of, don't worry, I'm a believer. One day, I'll just jam. I'm 2 million on the streets. Sorry, I have not thought of that before. Let me see. I have not. So don't worry. You used to say, this mold I'm entering every day in Lagos. One day, somebody will just forget a bag of money. Now, it's so bad that a Christian will say that, if I see a bag of money left on the street, I will not return it to a Christian. And you will say it boldly. This is the point. If you want to steal, don't be bold about it. Please keep quiet. But so it's further rebellion to now further come to the Facebook. Say, anything. The earth is the Lord's. It's my share of national cake. What? So somebody else is crying that he lost his maybe a loan that he took from bank. You are saying, God has done it. A lot of testimonies that we share in church, just like there's somebody close to where I work. The man bought a range and bought a range for the wife. God did just finish the house in some months and everything. And she came. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to thank God for his good. What? That's not testimony. Now you always come forward and I say, praise the Lord. Oh, she has done to you. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank God for his goodness over my life, over my head. Last week, my husband bought, unfortunately for the woman, somebody else was in the church that is the wife of a colleague of that, his husband, at work. And he knows how the husband earns. He just said, huh, listen, you are saying, your husband, you are paid the same salary. He can never have the money to buy a new range. And the woman got up and said, hey, okay, come on. Your colleague, his wife, his church, he gave testimony. Range Rover. Where's my own? Then, Range what? They took the matter to the office, investigated the man, and end of the day, discovered that he stole cooperative money. And end of the day, he was sacked. Costly of what? Testimony time. You have stole. Keep quiet. Keep quiet and repent. All right, it's true. Like Pastor Komi, we say. So, what belongs to God, guys? The heart of man. That is what God has control over. If your heart is not an auspicious, be convenient with those God has given you. Don't be looking for quality souls. So when you preach, maybe you are looking for those in tie, those in well-dressed. Ha, say this one. Oh, God. You know, just like when they are looking for somebody to replace Saul. Say, wow, see, behold the anointed of the Lord. Just see Eliab. Say, wow, muscular, six packs, unique spec. Ha, awesome. Okay, I said, behold the Lord's anointed. Say, just come, let me anoint you. As he was about to pour the word, God said, oh, Yoni, you burn. God looks not at the outward. You are going to be eating before your paracletos. Say, what God wants is the heart of man. Think about that a bit. Just think about that. That means you will bring all your money to God. You say, no, I need the heart. That is why, hope you know, we intentionally, you know, as I said, the church is 3 years now, we intentionally model a church that we did it. This is what I did, okay? I decided not to make seriousness in ministry an option for anybody. That's why we are few. That means that you'll be serious with Christ. It's not an option. It's the only option. So if I say, okay, we have evangelism group, those who likes to preach, who will be what? Sir Ifeanyi has gone to Jos. Who else is here? Nobody else. Okay. Then we have prayer department. Okay, will also be there. Who else here? Who else? Brashe, yeah, prayer. Oh, God. Then we have the music team. Ha! Oh, God. Brad Joshua, I'm looking for where to put you. Then we have singles department, Sister Anu. See, yeah, sisters, you must know how to carry. Guess what? Before God and man, if we have done that, we might be times five. There was the day my wife called me, say, of course, a year ago, say, come, Pastor, come. He said, now I can see where we are actually going. This thing we are doing, hope you know that increase will be very small. I said, I know. She is, she told me. I said, yes, I said, I know. He said, hey, so that when, maybe when I'm reporting, we are 50 every week. No is your, what you signed. Amen, amen. But that is what we are just trying to mirror. That no, it's not about, no, I love God. I love Jesus. Oh, God, he's good. You know, he's good. Let us come. Let us worship God. Let us give time for a special number. Special number in his church. Happy. Special number. You didn't even know if the guy is just coming from a pop club. He's a special number. I say, oh, I thank God. You're talking like Snoop Dogg. I thank God. Special number. What is that in church? What special about the number? Learn Jesus. Have I started preaching? We're asking Matthew 22. So please don't forget, okay? If an idea is just it's a big thing for you to take home. What is God after? The heart of man. A man that will submit his heart for him. That's what he's after. See John chapter 6. He finished preaching. He said, if you want to go, go. You see John 21. He told Peter, say, when you are young, you go where you like. But when you are old, and that will take you, hold your hand, take you to where you don't want to go. Oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to this heavenly call, says Paul. So it's very is so like this is not the point, okay? Because most of us pick that path of convenience, not us, I mean the church. We now add more people, less disciples. Less. Because even the people that we want to pick pace, when you are seeing lukewarmness around you, just be a local champion. Praise God. A lot of you right now, what you have known right now is enough for you to start to not just start a church, start a mega ministry. Why are you still here? You can go. See verse 22 now. So please don't forget that, okay? What is God after? People's money or people's art? I see a man ready for service, and another one not always willing, but he has some cash. Where must your eyes be? The one whose heart is ready. I know it's a temptation for you to just like to, please, don't fall for it. Ife, are you hearing me? For the day you become pastor, Ife. Yeah? Don't fall for it. Please, don't. So, verse 22 now. So, when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Let's see another example. Verse 23. So the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection of the, and asked him, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife. Okay. Raise up a seed unto his brother. Okay. Now that was with us. Seven brethren. First of all, where is seven? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Seven. Okay. The first, when he had married a wife, he died, whatever. Maybe his wife that killed him. Having no issue, left his wife and his brother. Likewise, the wife killed the brother again, killed the second. And the third, his seventh. Last of all, the woman died. What a story. That's how you know that people are so canna. God is standing before you. Of all you can ask, ah, sir. Sorry, Jerry. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? You know, they will think they have said something good. For the whole other. Thank God for the way Jesus said, come, he comes. He said, you do air, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. Wow. Verse 30, for in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. First, talking about the nature of the resurrected body. So now, if you see that verse 29, you err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. That means he's saying the answer to this your confusion has been in the Bible all this while. It has been there. 31. But now, so he first answered their question. They will know that in the kingdom of God, it's not about marriage. And that's a lot, okay? 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So he answered with Christology. That means, in this context right now, he explained the details of the immortal body. So he answered them with perfect Christology. I'm coming. So all those expecting seven virgins in heaven are just foolish, okay? Just foolish. That's just very foolish. Not just canon, that's foolishness. And so I didn't know how people are so bold to believe that. It's just foolish. Then we get to heaven, the reward of ministry is seven virgins. Sorry, 34. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, so that's serious. Thank you. He answered and also brought. Are you with me? He answered them, and also taught them that singular principle of Bible interpretation. He first answered, their question was that what was the greatest of the commandments? He said, okay, it is to love God and to love people. Then he said, on this hang all the law and the prophets. So he's saying, this is a principle of Bible interpretation, faith in Christ, and love for the saints. To love God is faith in Christ. I've explained that before. To love God is faith in Christ. And based on faith in Christ, you have love for the saints. Love for the saints is the proof of your faith in Christ. Are you with me? So all the documentation is trying to explain is this fact. This is what all the documentation is trying to explain. You will see man's action. You will see God's action. You will see man's reaction. You will see angels. You will see judgments. But they are all trying to explain this same concept. They are all centered on faith in Christ and love for the saints. God's action, man's action, angels' action. You see judgments too. Everything is founded on faith in Christ and love. Love, love, love. Faith in Christ and love for the saints. So, this must be the focus of your Bible study. That means when I see judgments in the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, when I see judgments, etc., I must know this must be a result of the rejection of Christ, not any moral fault. When I see Sodom and Gomorrah, something happened to them, I must not be quick to believe that it's because of homosexuality. No, it's because of unbelief. Judgment in the Bible is a result of the rejection of the Christ. Rejection. Rejection. When also I see a man that is called a favorite of God. Some people have said that David is a man after God's heart because he can dance very well. Some people say David is a man after God's heart because when he sings, he repents very well. Some people say David is a man after God's heart because what else? He plays keyboard or whatever. He's a choir coordinator. He's in Daboski. He's everything. But if you understand that, at least if you use the literal interpretation of Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Actually, that was talking about the life of Enoch. So that will make it clear to you that it can never be about the action of man. It's always about the action of God. It's not man's action. It's God's action. God's action. God's action. That means God brought a message and the man responded with faith. That's it. God brought a message and David responded in faith. Same reason why Abraham is called a friend of God. Not because of a sacrifice, but because he believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. Amen, amen. Praise God. So when I see God's approval, it must be a result of faith in Christ, which is in their words. Faith in Christ, which will be in their words. And further expressed as love for men, faith in Christ will be in the words of the men approved. In their words. And further expressed as love for men. Don't miss this, please. Don't miss this. This is why we say that the Bible is Christocentric. Again, let me say it again. When you see judgment in the Bible, judgment is because of the rejection of Christ. When you see acceptance or acceptability in the Bible, is because of an acceptance of Christ or faith in the message of God in Christ. It has never been about man's work, man's toiling. This is why we say the Bible is Christ-centered. It's Christ-centered. Christ as a promise, Christ as a message, Christ as intention, as a reality. It must be about the Christ. About the Christ. I'm coming there today. I think I was watching channels in the airport yesterday. And very funny. You know, we have unbelief and we also have stupidity. You know, it's a different level for you to quote, see that a man that is diligent in his business, right? He will stand before kings and not before what? Mere men, okay? But if you open up, but if you can preach business principle from a place like Romans 8, hope you know your level is different. Your level is extreme. Extreme. And this man, he was saying, okay, you must not, yes, okay, at times you may have two goals, okay, maybe you want to, you have a goal of, you have two goals before you, and you have a goal of maybe becoming a musician, also have another goal of becoming a fashion designer, okay, but for you to make it, you must choose one. I mean, for you to get it very well, you must choose one. And I was expecting the scripture to open. And he opened Matthew 7. Yes, Matthew 7. He said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will love one or hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He said, can you see? You must pick one of your dream. To make matters worse, he now says also, when you pick that dream, you must not stop. You must not quit. You must see it through. Now open Matthew 24. Say, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Say, therefore, I'm serious. It was in channels yesterday. Say, therefore, if in your fashion, you must not quit. You must endure to the end. Hey? This is before God, I repent. I didn't know why I just said idiot. I repent. But I said it. I said idiot. Why are we so bold like that? Are we so bold like that? At least go to the misguided scripture, use it. We hear. That's why somebody tell him to read John 3:16. You see how he will interpret it for you. God so loved what he gave. You must give what you love. If you don't give it, you won't get where you want to go. You must give what you love. For a destiny, there must be a giving. So, no, this way. Sorry, I didn't just say that because I'm trying to disdain the man. Thank God I didn't mention his name. But
That is now, that man, his Bible is monocentric. You understand? That means anything he reads there, what must he bring out? Money. I know before, anytime you read the Bible, what do you bring out? Relationship. Are you with me? That is a oju kokoro in Yoruba. That means a eyes that has insects inside. That means I already have a screen, okay? I already have a bias. Whatsoever I now read in this Bible, I will only interpret according to what is in my mind. That's bad. That's bad. I remember if I asked me a question over 2 years ago, I said, Pastor, you said we must be biased about the scripture. He said, what do you mean? Yeah. To be biased about the scripture is to know that the scripture is Christocentric. That's the bias. That's the bias.
Oh God. Of course, this one, you all know this one.
Tell an MFM minister to read any passage of the Bible for you and to explain. You will see demons there. I'm serious. You will see demons there. So those people, their Bible is what? Demon-centric. Success power. Those ones, and by the time he finished teaching you, everything he has said will be correct. Perfect. In fact, I say, wow, I need this in my life. Wow, this is why I've not been making it. But that is not the use of the Bible. Those Bible are successio-centric. There's anything like that. In fact, may I say this? This is the problem with a lot of people. Maybe a few people here too. Some people think the Bible is the heaven-centric. Bible is not about making heaven. Maybe you need to write that down. Even if you know it, write it down. The Bible is not about making heaven. The Bible is about knowing Christ. It's not about making heaven. No, it's about knowing Christ.
Okay, let me progress to see how far we can go with this today.
So you could see, they asked him about marriage. He still told them that no, in the resurrection. So he is explaining himself. Let's see 41. Why the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, okay, now, how then said David in the spirit? How then does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand till I make his enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he then his son? And he was not able, and they were not able to answer him a word, neither does anyone ask him a question from them henceforth. Now, please, who can tell me, compared to the other questions, who can tell me the peculiarity of this question? Feel free, think. Don't worry, tomorrow I will preach better. Who can tell me the peculiarity of this question? Feel free. Compared to other questions. Would you feel free? Yes. Yes. Okay. You are right. You are talking about the era of superiority. But that's not where I'm going. Who can give me something else? Yes, sir? You're almost there. Anu? Yes, Christ Center. Yes, Enrity. Tempting Jesus. Teaching them. Teaching them what?
Not just what you stand for. What?
He now helped them to ask the question they're supposed to ask.
Are you with me? That means, you know, they were talking about things, right? They first talk about money, right? Then they talked about wife. Then they talked about, okay, which commandment should we keep the most? I said, come. Why not ask, who is the Christ? Why not ask, where is the Christ? So he now took their focus to, you are getting it wrong. So, anyway,
you must know how to use people's words and questions to teach them Christ, okay? You must know how to use people's words, people's questions to teach them Christ. You must know. Because a man must ask, you know, at times you may be preaching for over 1 hour to somebody. I don't know if you have explained before. I tell him to ask a question. And the guy will ask a question that is not in everything you have been saying for the past 30 minutes. Who has observed that? Almost all of you, right? Guy will just bring a question from the blues. Okay, this angel. Morogo, have I mentioned angels since I started speaking? So, you must now, because for there to be perfect, let me say, to perfect in communication, you must preach and there must be a response. The response of the guy shows what is in his heart. It now shows the extent. She was preaching to somebody and I was preaching to a couple of people. And this one would just ask this, this one would ask that, this one would ask that. Someone just ask and say, come on. With what you are preaching, are you saying that I too will not be like you, preaching like this up and down? Say, yeah, you get it. That means the guy is so into, if I believe this thing, I will not carry Bible. I will not be going up and down the street, preaching. So, like, the question will show if there is comprehension. Are you with me? So please, don't always preach a one-way preaching. When you preach, seek for what? Response. Thank you. That's just smart. So, you must know how to use people's words and question to teach them Christ. To teach them Christ. So this will come by experience. By experience. With meditation and teaching. So much meditation teaching. You will get better in this with experience. For instance, you can be preaching and somebody will just ask you, okay, are you now saying anyone that believes in Jesus and still commits sin will enter heaven? If somebody asks you that, how should you respond? Feel free. Yes. No. Don't forget where I started from. Wise, okay? The unbeliever is worldly wise. You must be what? Godly wise. So, somebody is saying, anybody that believes in Jesus that commits sin, are you saying he will enter heaven? What would be your question back to him? Feel free, upright, yes? Did I say that? Good. That's a response, yes? Feel free, you said this thing, so. What qualifies a man to enter heaven? Good answer, yes? Conley device, come on. Sophizo, guys, yes? Now you. Are you the one that died for him? Yes, but that is already, you are shooting the guy. Next. But I said, there's a proper answer that you ought to ask straight. What is sin? What is man? Come on, feel free. Henry T, what will you tell the guy? Are you saying anybody that believes in Jesus and is committing sin, will he enter heaven? What should be your question? You ask him, what of the people that don't believe and they don't commit sin, will they enter heaven? Hey, you know now, you just say, hey, don't worry. What of that Muslim there that rejects Jesus, but she's very good, doesn't do rubbish, will she enter heaven? What have you done? You have put, who knows what it's called, atoko fish. You have hooked him or her with what, atoko in his throat. Say, Because he can't say yes, he can't say no.
So, because don't be once you say to such a question, once you say yes, you are looking for offense, okay? Immediately they have branded you as maybe for once say forever say or something like that. So, and if you say no, you just contradicted the gospel. So you will twist it, you allow him to answer. Praise God. Okay, what if somebody asks you that? Okay, are you saying every believer must speak in tongues?
I've answered this question. How should you respond?
Are you saying every believer must speak in tongues?
And you say something, okay, are you saying every man must wear clothes?
Are you saying everybody must be wearing clothes? Why can't they just enter street and
praise God. Amen, amen. Say we are godly wise. Okay, yeah, you are godly wise. So you must know how to use people's questions to teach them further. So we are, like, of course, so what I just said right now, why not just ask them, in Acts 2, there are 120. Why did they all speak in tongues? The whole 120 people. Why did they all speak in tongues? Why did God not leave some of them out because of sovereignty or whatever? Praise God. Okay. 2 Timothy, back to 3:16. So, doctrine is what we must always do with the scriptures. Please write that down. Doctrine is what we must always do with the scriptures. Doctrine is what we must always do with the scriptures. Doctrine is what we must always do with the scripture. Always. Pastor Zike, did you drive down? Okay. Because of you, I will not extend too long. Drive down next time so I can preach till 10.
Okay. 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is now profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, see what I just said, though. I said doctrine is what we must always do with the scriptures. So doctrine will not reprove. Doctrine will correct. Doctrine will instruct a man in righteousness. Write down those three facts. Doctrine will reprove. That means doctrine will give evidence. Doctrine will correct, okay? Then doctrine will instruct. Doctrine will give evidence, reproof. Doctrine will correct. And doctrine will also instruct. Doctrine is what we must always do with the scripture. Not just what we do in church. Not just what we do amongst believers. But anytime you pick the Bible, what must you do with it? Say doctrine. Okay, 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, which is ministry. So, doctrine must be about the Christ. The instruction must be about Christ. Same as the correction, same as the evidence. Everything must be about the Christ. John 16, 17. Everything.
John 16, are you there? Are you in John 16? Thank you. Okay, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. Amen, amen. So, now, he's talking about. So, is this a new work of the Spirit? That was the question. What you are seeing right here, is it a
new thing the Spirit is about to start doing after the resurrection. Okay? Because he's saying when the Spirit comes, okay, he will reprove the word of sin. He will reprove the word of right. I mean, he will teach righteousness, judgment. Okay? So is this a new work of the Spirit? Please write down that question. It's a rhetorical question. So that means, is it from the resurrection of Jesus that the Spirit will now start reproving people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? Is it what the Spirit is about to start doing at the resurrection? 2 Peter 1 verse 20. 2 Peter 1 20. Is it what the Spirit is about to just start doing? Now, well done. Knowing this first, open all scriptures, please. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, through the prophets, the Holy Ghost has been doing this all day long. He has been doing this. Through the prophets, the Holy Ghost has been given evidence towards sin as unbelief in the Christ. It's not a new fact. He has been given evidence towards sin as unbelief in the Christ. Unbelief did not become established as the resurrection. It has been unbelief since Genesis. Righteousness is by faith. Scriptures already taught that. The prophet already said that. Then the third one is that judgment has been declared on the principles of the word by the prophet already. Now he said of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That means in Christ there is judgment. Okay, are you with me? Are you with me? In Christ, there is judgment. Now, in the days of Noah, we saw judgment, okay? In Sodom and Gomorrah, we saw judgment. Now, judgment is not only the judgment of God, like I've explained before, is on sin, not on man, of course. Man only gets judged because of their identification with sin. Now, so of righteousness, of sin, and of judgment. Clearly, when you see things like 1 John 2:15, sorry, I know I'm fast right now, love not the world, neither the things of the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are not of the Father, they are of the world. And the world passeth away. That's judgment. So, all the principles of the world, they are being judged in Christ already. It's not new. It's not a new fact. The principles of men that disdain God's word, okay? For after they knew God, they glorify him not as God. Romans 1:28. Those principles, it has been judged before time. Judged. That's why the believer does not live, you don't live your life according to the principles of the cosmos, of the world, cosmos. No. Those principles has been judged. For instance, let me not go to examples yet. Those principles that the world operates by, believe in yourself, it has been judged. It has been judged. It's not of Christ. That's not Bible. Self-confidence is not Bible. Bible is God's God confidence. Bible is I am who God says I am. Okay? I I'll come to all that later. So, verse 13, albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So please write this. So scriptures are Christ-centered because the spirit that inspired the prophets only testifies of the Christ. Scriptures are Christ-centered because the spirit that inspires the prophet only testifies of the Christ. Only. The spirit that inspired the prophet only testifies of the Christ. I'll be done in 30 minutes. Flow with me. Hope you know, I told you inside God's leadings that God can never lead a man into eternal irrelevance. You remember? That means I can never say I am following God's spirit. I heard a voice from God. I am following God. And that voice of God made me have more money, more marriage, more everything, and less misery. That can never be the voice of God. You follow the flesh. You follow the flesh. God does not lead man, his man, into what? Eternal what? Irrelevance. Never. So if I say I'm following God's spirit, there will be a clear upward journey in my pursuit of excellence in the ministry of Jesus. Because that spirit, like it or not, it testifies of Christ. Testifies of Christ. So, see Genesis 1. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What's that? Inspiration. Okay? I'm coming. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What's that? Inspiration. And what is the result of that inspiration? The next verse, verse 3, and God said, let there be what? Light, and there was light. So what is the result of inspiration? Preaching. Remember 2 Corinthians 4, 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he has shined where? In our hearts. How did God shine in their hearts? Somebody preached to them. So when you see the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, talking about the inspiration of the prophets, then let there be light, and there was light, talking about the preaching of the gospel. Let there be light is man speaking after being inspired of God. Man speaking after being inspired of God. That means as you go around preaching the gospel, what you are invariably saying is that let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. As you go preaching the gospel, what are you saying? Let there be light. Amen. Come on, amen. Amen. So, same for the prophets. Same for the prophets. There is a point I must get to today. See Hebrews 3 verse 7. Now I'll be fast. This is just looking at scriptures, fulfillment, and quotation. So, no, it's so serious. Because in that Genesis 1 verse 2, hope you know, it was said the earth was without form, Abby. Void. So that void earth, what yet happened? The Spirit of God. Yet what? Inspire them. Those men of old that were not born again. What did God see do? He inspired them. Those men that they lead in darkness. God yet what? Inspire them. Hallelujah. And through darkness, let there be light. Do you get that? Was Abraham born again when he was called? Was Isaiah born again? But that dark ass, They were inspired of God, and their mouths spoke out salvation. That's a lot, which I will stretch in gospel confession. That God will save man, he didn't go and look for the perfect man. He went to look for what? That same man in darkness. Hallelujah. You remember the analogy of Pastor Joy on Sunday? That is in Isaiah 29. That God will use the plan of man, right, to achieve his own purpose. That's the real man. That's power. No, power is not when I make it to do my will. That's not power. Power is your will. We become a result. Hallelujah. Just like, oh, just come here. I'm not coming. I am going to India. Go. And he just took a flight to India. He flight kept going. Unfortunately, flight just came back here. Bah! Are you back? And he didn't manipulate the pilot. Don't worry, you are coming. No, that's power. No, that's almost unthinkable, right? Yeah, yes, that's power. When your plan that is not for God was now used to what make God's plan work. Hallelujah. So, okay, leave that for now. See, Hebrews 3 verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, why? Today, if you will hear his voice, adding not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. From where? Go to Psalm 95 verse 6. You will see there, Psalm 95 verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Please open your Bible. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, imagine, the guy was just praising God. He said, yes, he's our God. He was, and the Holy Ghost just took over. Today, if you hear his voice, add not your heart. As in the provocation, and in the day of the temptation, when your father said to me, prove me and saw my works. 40 years was I agree with this generation and said, it's a people that do always err. Where? In their heart, they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear my wrath that I should not enter into, they should not enter into my rest. So, see what I'm saying, oh? The psalmist wrote, okay? I don't know if it's David or who wrote this psalm. The psalmist wrote, but the writer of Hebrews said who wrote? The Holy Ghost. That's a lot. A man spoke, right? But later, the people that understood God said, no, that's not man. That's God. He said, the Holy Ghost. Put that to heart. Acts 1 verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of them were like 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. See that figure of speech. The Holy Ghost by the mouth of who? Are you looking at your Bible? The Holy Ghost, but by the mouth of who? Whose mouth? Whose mouth? But who is speaking? Whose mouth? Come on. But who is speaking? The Holy Ghost. Don't forget that. Before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus, and verse 20, for it is written in the book of where? Psalms. Let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. And his bishop brick, let another take. From where? You see Psalm 69, verse 25. Psalm 69, verse 25. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. Go back to Acts 7, verse 51. Acts 7, 51. So, please, the primary influence of the Holy Ghost on man is speaking about Christ. The primary, let me say the singular, the primary influence of the Holy Ghost on man is speaking about Christ. That's the primary. Forget the title is Can the Bible Be Wrong, okay? So, we must look at the origin of all utterances. So, the primary influence of the Holy Ghost on man is the speaking about the Christ. Speaking. See, Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked and not you, please, and uncircumcised in heart. Wow, in heart. And yes, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did. So do ye. So, the father I didn't think the Holy Ghost appeared anywhere before the fathers, right? These prophets were speaking to the fathers, but Stephen says, as they are rejecting the prophets, who are they rejecting? The Holy Ghost. So, even from this already, have you understood again the sin against the Holy Ghost right now? Are you with me? So, what will sin against the Holy Ghost be? Rejection of the utterance about Christ. Not just saying, Jeremiah, I don't like the way you are crying. No. Is to reject what he says about Christ. Because the primary work of the Spirit is to testify about the Christ. Don't lose this. That is why, because that's 52 now, say, which of the prophets have not your father persecuted? Why will you persecute a man? You don't like his words. You rejected his words. And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers. Back to Isaiah 53 verse 1. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Talking like he was speaking for the prophets. Who has believed our reports, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, this is where I'm going. Why will I call the words of the prophets the words of the Holy Ghost? Can I answer that question? Why will I call, now you. From all I have said, why will you call the words of the prophets the words of the Holy Ghost? Let me see who can get the perfect answer. Yes, from here? Ma? Is it about Christ? Yes. Prayer inspired? Yes. I say, why will you now call it? You. Why will you say the words of Abraham, words of David, it's not about themselves? What is the atheist? What is he missing? It's not teaching. It's a very simple answer. Sir, to honor the scripture, you're almost there, Pastor. Why will you say the words of, why will you agree? True scripture, you understood. Sir? Write it down, faith. Write it down, faith. Faith. So, God. Say I'm a believer. Say I'm a believer. Say I truly believe that the Bible is inspired of God. You know, that is the junction that the atheists must agree with. It's called faith. Now, yes, don't forget, faith is always after an information, right? I first showed you, right? I showed you quotation, Acts, and what? Psalms, okay, how they spoke about themselves. I first proved it to you from the Bible. And I say, why do you believe it? Why do you believe it? Faith. So, what is my response to God's word? Faith, right? Thank you. Next, let's progress. Go back to Matthew 16. Say, I believe that these words are not ordinary words. Say, I believe that the Bible is truly inspired of God. Say, I believe that the Bible is not a conjured story. Say, I believe that the Bible is not a fanciful story. Say, I believe that this is God speaking. Okay, see Matthew 16, verse 13. Oh, glory to God. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus now came into the coast of Caesarea Philip, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do you say that I, the Son of God, Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto them,
thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed where? In heaven. So, what is he saying? Now, go back to verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. How did the Father in heaven, why did the Father in heaven choose to reveal it to Peter alone? Please write that down as a rhetorical question, which I will answer before then we close for today. Why would the Father choose to reveal it to Peter alone? Now, again, what does God have control over? Things or the heart of man? Heart of which man? Is it all men? Willing man, right? Okay, that's why I said, as believers, we go around appealing to men. We don't go around asking for people's money. We go around appealing to men to submit their hearts to the gospel of Christ. Okay, good. So, is it that Peter saw a vision? Is it that God just showed Peter a vision? See him as a Christ. See, there is something that is here that you may miss out. What is the name of Jesus? Yeshua, right? What is the name of Christ? The Anointed One. Now, there is a word in the Hebrew called, can I spell this? M-A-S, write this down, please write this down. M-A-S-H-I-Y-A-C-H. M-A-S-H-I-Y-A-C-H. Who can pronounce it? Okay. Huh? My ear, no. Okay, of course, the word means anointed, okay? Comma, consecrated, okay? A consecrated person, okay? Anointed, consecrated person. This word was used majorly by all prophets. Let's start from 2 Samuel 19:21. 2 Samuel 19:21. Be fine, come on. Be fine. 2 Samuel 19:21. Good. Are you there? But Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he calls who the Lord's anointed? So please write this down. So to spite or to disdain God's anointed is to reject life. To spite or disdain God's anointed is to reject life. I know. And the prophets will demonstrate that by killing you. You understand? That's how they will demonstrate that you have rejected life. They will kill you physically. So, as to spite, okay, or to disdain God's anointed, is to reject life. This is not talking about a man of God, though, okay? We are tracing who is the anointed. See, chapter 22, verse 47. 2 Samuel 22, 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me and bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from my enemies, and that thou hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee. O Lord, among the heathen, I will sing praise unto thy name. Let's read verse 51. Yes, sirs. Of salvation for his king, and showed mercy to his anointed, unto David,
to his seed forevermore. Okay? Go to chapter 23, verse 1. So was David speaking about himself? Was he talking about himself? If you have read Acts 2 of recent, you will understand that clearly. See 23, verse 1. Now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up, on high, imagine, the anointed of God, of Jacob, and sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, and ruling in the fear of God. He shall be as the light of the morning. Wow. Whom the sun riseth, when the sun riseth, even the morning, without cloud. See that? So when the sun riseth, it will be a morning without cloud. Imagine. As a tender grass springeth forth out of the earth by a clear shining after rain. Verse 5. Yes. Let's read. Covenant. Ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although make it. Verse 6, yes. But the sons of Belial shall all of them as stones and thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands, but the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear. So you could see how he spoke about both faith and unbelief. Verse 6 and 7. That's talking about the people that reject the sons of Belial. Okay, go back to Psalm 2, verse 2. Go to Psalm 2, verse 2. We are tracing the anointed. Meshiah, whatever you call it. Okay, Psalm 2, verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Okay, with that, see Psalm 18, verse 50. Because that was quoted in Acts. Psalm 18, verse 50. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and sweet mercy to his anointed, and to David, and to his seed forevermore. Look at that word, to his seed forevermore. That's the Lord. That can never be your David. See verse 6. Of Psalm 20, verse 6. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Okay, go to Psalm 28, verse 8. If you remember when we studied Can the Bible Wrong Series 1. When we are first stressing the issue of generational curse, when we started from Exodus 20, went to Ezekiel, now went to Jeremiah, what did you say happened over the ages? Words became clearer, right? Utterance became clearer, right? That means there was a progressive light. So we are tracing anointed now, okay? It was first used by Saul, by Moses, but later David was using it. So we are in where now? 28 verse 8, the Lord is their strength and is the saving strength of his anointed. Psalm 84 verse 9. 84 verse 9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. Psalm 89, sorry, that is 84 verse 9. This one is 89 verse 38. Psalm 84 verse 38, but thou hast cast off and abhor, and thou hast been wrought with thy anointed. See Psalm, of course, I should be talking about sufferings. Christ. Psalm 89, verse 51 now. Wherewith thy enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Okay, see Psalm 105, verse 8. I love this one. I usually quote it very well before. He that remembered his covenant. Psalm 105, verse 8, please. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the words which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying,
unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying what? Touch not my anointed, nor do my prophets no harm. Psalm 132. Come on, you're almost there. Psalm 132 verse 10. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of your anointed. Psalm 132 verse 17. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. Okay? Go back. Now go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 1. You see what will happen right now. Very soon. Isaiah 45 verse 1. Thus said the Lord. Hope you know, all this while we have been referring to like a good man, David, as the anointed. Now he now picked a man, a king, Cyprus, which was a Eden king. Is that not a king of, is he king of Persia? Abi? He's one of the kings of Persia that people that even imprisoned Israel. So you can know that it's not about qualification. It's not about David. See, Psalm 45 verse 1. Thus said the Lord. To his what? Anointed. To Cyrus. Whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaf gates and the gates that shall not be shut. The breath of nostrils, the anointed of the Lord was taken. Oh, sorry. I've rushed to another place. I will break in pieces the what? Let's keep reading. Yes. The bars of iron, I will give him the treasures of what? And what else will God be calling riches? Man. What will be the treasures of darkness? The men caged by darkness. Amen. The captives of darkness. Are you with me? Okay, go to Lamentation chapter 4, verse 20. Lamentation 4:20. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow, we shall live. Among the heading. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lamentation chapter 4:20. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadows, we shall live among the hidden. So who can explain that first part for me? He's saying, the breath of our nostrils, okay? The anointed of the Lord of was taken in their pits. That would be what? The death of Christ. That means the person we trust, the person you want to hide under, you captured him, you took him, you killed him. Okay, if that is not clear enough, Daniel now dropped a checkmate. And the translators now did a better job this time. See Daniel chapter 9, 25. Now, I didn't trace this one with looking for the word anointed up and down. I was looking for that Greek word. Sorry, that Hebrew word. So see Daniel 9, 25. Not therefore, are you there? Please open. Help me. Are you in Daniel 9:25? Thank you, sirs. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the who? That's the same Greek word. That's the same, sorry, same Hebrew word. Same Hebrew word that we have been looking at since. Unto the Messiah. The prince shall be 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks, and the streets shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. See chapter 26. Sorry, verse 26. Verse 26. And after 3 score years and 2 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the world desolate
solutions are determined. So see that what he said, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Who did Jesus die for? For us. Okay, go to Habakkuk 3:13. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thy anointed. Thou woundest the head of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation of the, unto the neck. Amen, amen. Okay, back to the question you wrote down. What was the question you wrote down before about Peter? Please read for me. And see, come on, check, come on. Huh? Who can answer? I want to close. Come on, I want to close. Let me close in 10 minutes so I can take off my mic. Yes, come on. After I'll give you all the joke. So, in Matthew 6, and what do you say, sir? How many people had the scriptures? Okay? So, what was Peter's answer? Thou art who? Is it Jesus or the Christ? When he used the word the Christ, what is he saying? If he said you are Jesus, I'm saying you are a great man. But when he's saying the Christ, what has he connected? He has connected everything the prophets have been saying to you. So why? I will stone you if you don't get the answer now. Why? How did Peter get it? It's not read. How? Faith. Amen. I know. Sorry, the question looks somewhere. I said, why? How? It's confusing you. So Peter now said, no. He said, who did people say I am? Say, you are the prophet. He said, who do you say I am? You are that Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know, I will get to this later. Do you know that Jesus never calls himself the Christ? Hallelujah. Why? He does not testify about himself. It doesn't make sense. That's not the point. Why did he come? To seek to save them that are lost. For faith. So, it will be the believer that will say, no, you are the Christ. When Herod asked him, tell me, are you the Christ? Did he answer? Huh? Because it's not about me telling you that I'm the Christ. No. You must agree with the utterances of the prophet. Hallelujah. So he's saying you are that anointed one. You are that Christ. That is faith. Now imagine seeing divine right now and say, you are the one. Somebody you have been with all day, all year, say, you are the one. Contrary to all what surrounding circumstances. You are a man. You are a man. No, you don't look powerful. You don't look, but you are that Christ. Okay, so now wrapping it up for today. So faith is to recognize Jesus as the one scripture spoke about. That's faith. It's faith, guys. It's faith. It's faith. It's faith. So is to recognize Jesus as the one scripture spoke about. That's faith. And Samuel, please help me with the keyboard. Faith is to recognize Jesus as the one scripture spoke about. That's faith. Now, we have spoken about faith in two capacities right now. Okay? Firstly, faith is to what? Agree that the utterances of the prophet is the what? Holy Ghost speaking. Remember? Faith is to agree that the utterances of the prophet is the Holy Ghost speaking. That's very wonderful. Wow.
That means men that never saw themselves across thousands of years have passed. They all said the same thing. Faith is to agree that that central inspiration of the Bible is the Holy Ghost. For instance, why will you go to it? Why will you read, "Thou shalt not steal," and you obey it? It is faith. Are you with me? You could as well say that it's not for me. My name is not written there. Are you with me? Don't forget the topic is, can the Bible be wrong? So we are authenticating the scripture. So why will a man pick the Bible? And that will say, I must believe, and I choose to believe. That's faith. Why will I pick the Bible and the Bible will say, oh, I must show love to those who don't deserve it? Why will I choose to agree? Why? Say, I'm a believer. Say, I'm a believer. Why do we go to the Bible, we read the words, and we obey? Why? Because you are a believer. Then, also, why must I say every passage? I must not interpret money from it. I must not interpret marriage from it. I must not interpret romance from it. Why must I read Songs of Solomon and I will close my eyes on emotions and I will close my eyes on sexual pleasures and I will be talking about Christ? Why? I am a believer. You are a believer. Hallelujah. Two key things. God inspired the Bible and is about the Christ. These are let me say, foundation school, grand rules, believers class. I believe God inspired this Bible. I believe that the Bible is about the Christ. Until we get that, we don't move forward in Christianity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Faith is to agree that Jesus is the Christ of the scripture. He is the one that they spoke about. He is the one. So, now, Sister Bell, last thing you asked me. So, these two statements, they are the bias of Bible interpretation. The bias. Why will I pick everything? No, you will pick the book of Esther that there, God was not mentioned there at all, right? But what will you preach from there? Christ. Why? You are a believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are a believer. Why will you pick the book of Proverbs? Ah, see that a man dealing in his business. Now you are seeing the word business. What will you say? No, that business is not. You will just zero your mind. You just turn it. See, that business can never be making money. That business can only be the Lord's business. Standing before kings. Oh, sorry. Kings can never be the man in the White House. No. Kings will be kings and priests in Christ. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires what? A good work. So let him first be proved. Then let him what? Use the office of a bishop. Then he stands before kings. Abi? Praise God. Why will I interpret the Bible like that? I am a believer. Amen, amen. They're not slothful in business. Why will I not read that and I'll be saying, ah, come on, RT, that means you must walk all night. No. That's not what he's saying. Not slothful in this business. In this business. When the sons of Abraham say, ah, God has blessed my servant, my father Abraham, with cattle, cut this, does it? Sir, what God blessed your father, your master with, is righteousness by faith. Why? You are a believer. It must be things in Christ. Oh, David was a cool guy. He listens to his brothers. He does things. That's why he's... Shut up! No! David believed the gospel. Abraham believed the gospel. That's why he was called a friend of God. What is the name of these two people? Jacob and Esau. Esau does not stay at home. If you read that account very well, hope you know Jacob almost looked like an irresponsible man being. Wake up every day, sit down with his mother, eating food. And the brother will go to work and go to farm and work. Work, work. And the guy came when he was hungry. And Jacob was even asking him, give me your basket before I give you food. Does that even connote love? Does it look like love? So, why would be that Jacob that said, Jacob have I loved? Esau have I hated? Why? I look at salvation, election. Why will I go to Genesis chapter 4? Abel and Cain. What? Ah! See, guys, when Cain was bringing his offering, he brought the the spoiled yam. Ageku means like the one you have finished eating. You know, when you cut yam into two, that remaining parts that you have kept somewhere, it's almost growing in your kitchen. So that's all Cain brought to God. But Abel brought a big offering. Abel, guys, come on. Your offering is the size of your blessing. It must be the size of... why will you not get to the book of Hebrews? Say, by faith, Abel. Say, all I saw in Abel is faith. And to end today, when you now go to the garden, when some men of God are already saying today that is a tithe that Abraham took, that Adam took. That is why he fell. When you are seeing three of this, three, what will you see? Adam rejected the Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray in the Holy Ghost, everybody. Amen. You are a believer, guys. You are a believer. You are a believer. It's about the Christ, okay? It's about the Christ. It's about the Christ. Come on, it's about the Christ. 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 Avatelas of Vatra take a vantalas to go vati vatatate. Is about the Christ. Is about the Christ. Come on, be upstanding. Thank you. Let us pray. The Holy Ghost. Late Valerante. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Come on. Ye Vilandras take a Vilamante Malantike Vratila, send Valle Machina Mark and tell them Zampa. Pastor George, do you have any song about I'm a believer? Come on. Just pray, guys. Pray. I'm a believer. Come on, let's sing. I believe in God the Father. Come on, let's sing. Yeah. Grace, don't you know this song?
God is three in one.
Resurrection.
I believe in the resurrection.
We shall rise again.
God, we will rise again.
I believe.
Yes, I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in God the Father. Yeah.
I believe in Christ the Son.
Live
in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection that we will rise again.
Cause
yes, I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe
in you.
Who knows it? Come on. I believe he rose again. I believe that Jesus
Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. You are a believer, okay? Don't allow people to twist you out of this path. See, when at times there can even be some people that can just throw some questions at you. Who is the wife of Cain? Yes, my guy, you came too late. I'm a believer. Hallelujah.
No, just come to you that are you? No. He said, from the analysis of DNA, it's not possible for all of us to come through one man. Edan. Why yo? Say, guy, come, I'm a believer. See, the life in Christ is more real than reality. That is why, because we are talking about Jesus, they want to write about Melchizedek. They say what? You have no father. You have no mother. No descendants. Somebody say, I knew his father. Shut up! I knew his father. Keep quiet. We are talking about something real more than your reality stone. Amen, amen. Glory to God! That is why you must not rate your life based on what you can see. Paul said, why we look not at things that are seen, but as things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. A guy came to Jesus and said, my father just gave me plenty inheritance. Just help me to talk to my brother so we can divide it equally. Jesus did not rejoice. Rather, he said, Mr. Man, beware of covetousness. But he said, there will be joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. That tells you that what the normal man rejoices over is different from your own reality. Your reality is more real than their reality. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you must know that you are a believer. You operate on a plane more real than the physical. More real, more real, more real, more real, more real. More real. More real. That's why he said the life of a man, you know, that's big, okay? He said the life of a man consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. That's a checkmate. That's a checkmate. That means everything, the yardstick that we use to honor people in this life is never the yardstick before God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Say, I'm a believer. Say, I have my reality and I esteem it highly. Glory to God. 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 Thank you. See you tomorrow, same time. Thank you.
It's to see beyond the physical, to know what to esteem highly. Reality is only in things eternal. My heart is simple to honor and reflect all that I see of myself in Christ. The wisdom of the Spirit is to see beyond the physical.